Today on Fellowship in the Word, Pastor Bill Gebhardt challenges you to become a fully functioning follower of Jesus Christ.
What happens when you even hear about someone you love has got a really serious diagnosis like this? You wake up in the middle of the night, what do? You immediately start thinking about all of the terrible things that can happen. We can't get away from it. We just constantly think about it that way. By the way, all of that is speculation. You see, it's all speculation. What we should be thinking about is the knowledge of God, is what he is saying. Taking captive every thought to Christ. You see, are my thoughts speculation or are my thoughts based on the knowledge of God?
Thank you for joining us today on this edition of Fellowship in the Word with Pastor Bill Gebhardt. Fellowship in the Word is the radio ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, located in Metairie, Louisiana. Let's join Pastor Bill Gebhardt now as once again he shows us how God's Word meets our world.
David Jeremiah, who has fought his own battle with cancer and is in remission, writes this. He says, when we face a serious disease, the first thing we should do is talk to God, ask him for guidance, and then take advantage of the best medical assistance available, as Hezekiah did. Ultimately, our God is Jehovah Rophe, the God who heals you. Whether he heals us with a miracle or with medicines or in the world to come. What an interesting way to put it. He says, God will always heal us. Sometimes with a miracle, sometimes with medicines, and always in the world to come. The prognosis, the prayer, the promise, and the prescription. And it all seems like it's going so well. But now there's a problem. In chapter 39, verse 1 and 2, we see the symptoms, but not the problem. It says, and at that time, Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, the king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard that he had been sick and had recovered. And Hezekiah was pleased. And he showed them, that's the Babylonians, he showed the Babylonians all his treasure house, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious oil and his whole armory and all that was found in his treasuries. There was nothing in his house nor all in all his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. Now, please understand who the Babylonians are. The Babylonians are the people who destroyed the Assyrians. It's kind of an interesting thought. Why would he do that? Well, we find out why he would do it in 2 Chronicles 32, and I'll just read the verse. Listen. In those days, Hezekiah became mortally ill, and he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord spoke to him and gave him a sign. But Hezekiah gave no return for the benefit he received, because his heart was proud. Therefore, wrath came on him and on Judah and Jerusalem. Hezekiah took that 15 years in that healing as an issue of pride. He became so proudful that he shows the Babylonians all the treasures that he has. Isaiah, in a paraphrase way, shows up and says, what were you thinking? And by the way, the Babylonians came down, ransacked it all, and took it all back to Babylon. You see, even though the prayer was answered, everything kind of went wrong after that. What you find out with the problem here with Hezekiah is simply this. As the heat died down on his problems, his passion for God died down. I see it all the time. I see people who get a really difficult prognosis, and boy, they're in church. They're in church. They want to get right with God. And we pray for that. And sometimes they become well again. Boy, I see marriages that are hanging by a thread. But they want to get it right with God. And then they do. And then you don't see him again. You see what ends up happening? He uses it as an issue of his pride. As long as he had a problem, boy, he wanted to be close to God. We're all like that. But once he's receiving the blessing, then he's just as happy to be on his own. By the way, it doesn't get much better. Manasseh, the man I mentioned, born 3 years after the healing, becomes the next king, and he's horrible. One of the worst kings ever in Judah. Idolatry, sorcery, everything you can imagine. Didn't turn out that well. Those 15 years, someone paid. Even the whole country paid. But you see, the problem, instead of being full of thanks and gratitude, Hezekiah was full of pride. So, we see the prognosis, the prayer, the promise, the prescription, and the problem. You see, when it comes to disease and suffering, our perspective is so much different than God's. We seldom see the benefit of it at all, and yet there's tremendous benefit. You see it all the way through scriptures. You know what he told Paul. He said, no, I'm not going to remove the thorn. You see, because when you have the thorn, you're weak, and when you're weak, you let me be strong in your life. Spurgeon, the great English preacher, said this, I dare say the greatest earthly blessing that God can give any of us is health, with the exception of sickness. Why? Sickness drives us to God. You see, sickness makes us dependent on God. It has a real advantage. It can learn a lot from Hezekiah. But the real question comes down to, wouldn't it be better that when we face this, and ultimately we will all face it in one way or another, wouldn't it be better to face this with peace than with fear? You see, wouldn't that be better? We're going to face it. Would you rather have peace or fear? I think there are four things we can do to really help alleviate the fear that we have of serious illness or terminal disease. The first one is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse 3, here, listen to what the Apostle Paul says. He says, for though we walk, and he means live, for though we live in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying, and don't miss this word, speculations, and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You see, the very first thing you can do when you're facing a serious or terminal illness is capture your thoughts. Oh, we need to do that. What happens when you even hear about someone you love has got a really serious diagnosis like this? You wake up in the middle of the night, what do? You immediately start thinking about all of the terrible things that can happen. We can't get away from it. We just constantly think about it that way. By the way, all of that is speculation. You see, it's all speculation. What we should be thinking about is the knowledge of God, is what he is saying. Taking captive every thought to Christ. You see, are my thoughts speculation or are my thoughts based on the knowledge of God? Let me give you an illustration. There was a young woman missionary named Isabel Kuhn, an amazing woman. In her early 20s, she was agnostic. She came to Christ and ended up going to China as a missionary. She eventually gave her life to breast cancer in 1957. She wrote several books, but one of the books she wrote is In the Arena. When she realized that she not only had breast cancer, but it was very likely to be terminal. And this is what she wrote. She said, I had to refuse to allow my imagination to play with my future. That future, I believe, is ordered of God, and no man can guess it. For me to let myself imagine how or when the end would come was not only unprofitable, it was definitely harmful. So I had to bring my thoughts into captivity that they might not dishonor my Lord Jesus Christ. She realized it. She said, I have to capture my thoughts. A mind focused on the Word of God is one that can stop you from losing heart. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul said, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. You have to capture your thoughts, because if you don't, your thoughts run crazy. You can't stop. And almost always, it's fatalistic thinking, which makes us just more fearful. So the first thing we can do is capture our thoughts. The second is found in Ephesians chapter 1. Just a couple pages to your right, Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 3, Paul, writing to the church of Ephesus, says this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And then he spends the rest of the chapter telling you what all the blessings are. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Notice there's not a comma, and then it says, only if you're really healthy. All of these blessings are yours, whether you have disease or whether you have health. It makes no difference at all. You see, not only should we capture our thoughts, whenever you're facing a serious disease in your life or a terminal illness, count your blessings. Count your blessings. You see, it's a matter of focus. Not only the heavenly blessings. It seems to me that so often in times of illness, our blessings become clear. I'm always astounded like that. I'm always amazed that when you really love someone and you find them facing a terminal illness, that you end up saying things to them and they saying things to you that you probably should have said the whole time you were both healthy. Think of the blessings. The prayers of friends. People who tell you they're praying for you specifically. A note from a loved one to encourage you. A neighbor who mows your lawn. A verse that gives you comfort. Flowers that remind you that someone's thinking about you. Just think of those kinds of things. All the little blessings. Those are relational blessings. Think of all the other blessings. Think of what you still have instead of what you're afraid you're going to lose. Ed Dobson is senior pastor of Calvary Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And he has been fighting a battle with ALS for 11 years. And this is what he writes about counting his blessings. He says, in the midst of my disease, I began blessing God for all the gifts of life. I bless God for each day. I bless God for the ability to shower and clothe myself. I bless God for the ability to button buttons. I bless God for the ability to lift food to my mouth, even though I can no longer do it with my right hand. I bless God for everything that I can do and for every gift that comes from Him to me. 11 years. Counting His blessings. Capture your thoughts. Count your blessings. And then if you just turn the page, that Ephesians 2 and verse 10. After talking about the great grace of God and how we're all saved by grace, the Apostle Paul says this: For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Capture your thoughts, count your blessings. Continue your life. Continue. See, so often when we get that kind of diagnosis, we just want to stop it now. He says, no, we were created for this, to continue our life. What a lesson for us. On her deathbed, Isabel Kuhn was battling cancer. And now that she found herself only in bed, she drew up a daily schedule that fit the limits of her strength. In bed, she worked on a book, engaged in ministry of prayer. She read, she studied, and she rejoiced in the letters and cards that came from all over the world for her. And when she lacked strength, even for these activities, she wrote, Sound health and a normal life I cannot have while on this platform. Therefore, I accept the fact but I do not fret about it. On March the 20th, 1957, she went to be with her Lord, full of faith and joy. On that day, she wrote, "Facing the end of one's earthly pilgrimage is not melancholy for the Christian. It is like preparation for the most exciting journey of all. And so the platform of my dreaded disease becomes nothing but a springboard for heaven." I don't know about you, but I'd like to have that attitude at the end. What an attitude. Seeing the joy. She's just continuing her life. On his deathbed, Elisha gave counsel to Joash, the king of Israel. On his deathbed, he's still a prophet of God's. You see, I think so often we think that the only time I can do something is when I really feel great. Jerry West, the NBA executive, said, "You can't get much done in life if you only work on the days you really feel good." And when we have disease, we don't feel good. But we're still called by God to continue our life. You see, and there's something about the good works of a deathbed that exceed all other good works. It's so genuine. You see, it's so genuine. Just imagine that. Puritan preacher Thomas Watson said this, "A sick bed often teaches more than any sermon." Of course it does. It's authentic. It's real. Capture your thoughts and count your blessings and continue your life. And one last thing. Turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 18. I love the English word that's used here. Paul says, "For I consider." Consider means to reckon. Consider means I really believe this. Considerably means that this is the way I'm going to live my life. Now watch what Paul says. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." He said, "I really believe this. I consider." Capture your thoughts, count your blessings, continue your life, and consider your future. Consider your future. That's what Paul's doing. By the way, does Paul knowing about suffering? Unbelievable amount of suffering. But notice what he says. "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Let me illustrate that. Let's just say that you're informed that you won a free trip. But this isn't like any other free trip. This is a 2 years around the world, anywhere you want to go free trip by private jet. Only stay in 5-star hotels. Okay? In every country or city you go in, you get the best guide from that country or city to guide you, to show you everything that's there. In every place that it's applicable, you are given a free shopping spree to shop and get anything you want while you're there. Now, this is a free trip. Now, when you finally get the final notification that you've got it, it's in the mail. You see it on the counter, you come home from work, and you think, this is it. This is going to be my itinerary. This is how it's going to happen. And then as you're opening up the envelope, you get a paper cut. And then you say, you know, that's just ruined everything. It's all ruined now. By the way, please understand, I am not trivializing terminal disease. I'm comparing it to the eternal state. You see, that's what Paul said. I can't even compare it. He's considering the future. I want to close by letting the Lord speak. John chapter 14, the Gospel of John chapter 14. Jesus says this, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Please don't be afraid. Please don't be anxious. Please don't worry." He says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. believe in God. Believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's his promise. Isn't that something? In my Father's house are many dwelling places. Yeah, I know it's a big place. He said, but I got a special place for you. I love that imagery. I've said it over all the years, but I love the idea that when I would get there, there is, let me use the metaphor, there is a door to apparently a very nice place and a welcome mat on the front of it. And it says, welcome, Bill. You see, that's considering my future. He says, look, I don't want your heart to be troubled. I don't want that to be the case. I understand the consequences of the fall and the curse on the earth and disease and dying. I get that. But you don't have to die in fear. You can die with peace. You see, you can die with even inner joy. You certainly can die with hope. You see, that's the point that he's making. Capture your thoughts, count your blessings, continue your life, and consider the future. And when you do that, you have what Paul calls the peace beyond understanding. And not only when the peace comes in, maybe more importantly to almost all of us, the fear goes out. Let's pray. Father, this sermon applies to every single one of us. Some of us are facing serious illness right now. All of us will face it likely in the future. Father, I pray that when that kind of disease or illness comes our way, that we know we have the freedom to pray our humanity, to cry out to you, and to shed bitter tears. But Father, we know there's more than that. We know that you care for us. We know that you have sent the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to comfort us. We know that your word can bring us peace and comfort. We know you have surrounded us with other believers who can also come to our aid in our difficult times. But Father, one thing we need to know is we don't have to be filled with fear. Not as those, as Peter writes, who have no hope because they have no Christ. Father, if there's someone here today who does not know you and does not have a personal relationship with you through Jesus Christ, may I simply say to them that they too will fight that final battle with pain in life. But without Jesus Christ, not only is there not peace in the battle, there is no peace forevermore. I would invite them to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and his finished work. And we can have peace about that because the tomb is empty. He has been resurrected from the dead and he has ascended into heaven. And if they would put their faith and trust in Christ, the promise of Scripture is they are born again into your family. And the Holy Spirit takes up residency in their soul and they have the assurance of eternal life. May they not let that opportunity go by. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Bill Gephardt on the radio ministry of Fellowship in the Word. If you ever miss one of our broadcasts, or maybe you would just like to listen to the message one more time, remember that you can go to a great website called oneplace.com. That's oneplace.com, and you can listen to Fellowship in the Word online. At that website, you will find not only today's broadcast, but also many of our previous audio programs as well. At Fellowship in the Word, we are thankful for those who financially support our ministry and make this broadcast possible. We ask all of our listeners to prayerfully consider how you might help this radio ministry continue its broadcast on this radio station by supporting us monthly or with just a one-time gift. Support for our ministry can be sent to Fellowship in the Word, 4600 Clearview Parkway, Metairie, Louisiana, 7006. If you would be interested in hearing today's message in its original format, that is, as a sermon that Pastor Bill delivered during a Sunday morning service at Fellowship Bible Church, then you should visit our website, fbcnola.org. That's fbcnola.org. At our website, you will find hundreds of Pastor Bill's sermons. You can browse through our sermon archives to find the sermon series you are looking for, or you can search by title. Once you find the message you are looking for, you can listen online, or if you prefer, you can download the sermon and listen at your own convenience. And remember, you can do all of this absolutely free of charge. Once again, our website is fbcnola.org. For Pastor Bill Gebhardt, I'm Jason Gebhardt, thanking you for listening to Fellowship in the Word.